All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. This is Eric Nam, and today I am joined by a very, very special friend of mine, a good friend of mine. His name is Christopher, better known as Gallant.
What's up,
brother?
Chilling, man.
How are
good
you?
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
This is crazy, this whole operation as well.
Welcome to Dive Studios.
Yeah,
glad to have you here. Just to start, do you want to just say hi to everybody listening?
And what's up, everybody?
Yeah.
What's up, everybody listening and everybody watching? Thrilled to be here.
All right.
Beautiful rainy day.
It is. It's a rainy day in Seoul.
Yeah. It's beautiful, actually, though.
Do you like... How was it?
Like, perfect weather, too.
Was the weather, like, okay for the festival?
It was great. I looked up, and I knew that there was about to be at least one or two or three raindrops that fell, and they might have fallen, but the weather was perfect. It was cloudy, overcast, so we got through it, and they saved all the rain for today.
All right. Well, at least it's not during the festival. Those are not always the most fun.
Exactly. Exactly.
But yeah, welcome back to Seoul. When's the last time you were in Seoul?
Oh, man. I think like last year.
Okay.
Like a year ago from today. And I haven't played a festival here since 2017.
Oh, so it's been a minute.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
But it's like every time I'm back, it feels like I'm home in a weird way.
Yeah.
You know?
Cause it's like, what is it about it that kind of feels so comforting or homey to you?
I don't know. I think it's just the people, I think, because I don't get the same vibe when I'm traveling most of the time, especially, you know, no offense, but like most European places. So it just has that vibe that I'm used to, you know. It just reminds me of the way that I grew up a little
bit. Oh, sweet. Yeah, well, speaking of how you grew up, let's talk about it briefly. You grew up in Maryland for the most part.
Yeah, Columbia.
Columbia, Maryland. Like most of your childhood?
Yeah, it's like straight suburbia, you know. So it's like you go on a, you go to one path and then you come out somewhere that you didn't even know existed on the map.
Uh-huh.
And there's lots of trees, lots of woods, you know.
Cul-de-sacs.
Tons of cul-de-sacs.
Minivans.
Tons of minivans.
Soccer moms.
Tons of soccer moms. It's like Soccer Momville.
Yes. No, but I completely understand.
Exactly.
You painted a very clear picture for me of where you grew up. What'd your parents do?
Oh, my dad's in real estate-ish, like commercial real estate.
Uh-huh.
And then my mom works for the Department of OPM, which is like a segment of the government that controls, like, you know, their big thing is like Medicare, like healthcare stuff.
But, so like the important things.
I would say, yeah, definitely. But it's the opposite of music. Like there was nobody musical in my family at all. Like I felt like, you know, the black sheep for sure.
Really?
But yeah, but they were always really supportive. They like... They were just down to support the weird kid who, you know, didn't talk to anybody and just like, you know, made random shit on his laptop upstairs, you know, so.
Yeah, what were you like as a kid? So you were, I guess, introverted?
Yeah, I mean, I was really quiet. Like, I feel like I was, a lot of people thought I was just like mute, basically. Like, I just never, I didn't say a word. I was like, you know when you go to a barbecue and you just like see the kid in the corner and he's just
brooding,
like, sitting there? Yeah, or like the horror movie where like, the kid's like drawing. He's like, "Oh, look, mommy, look what I drew!" And it's like some crazy, nightmarish thing, you know, like that.
Just black circles.
exactly. Oh, yeah, that was my brand when I was a kid.
All right. But, that, I mean, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's
cool.
Did you have any siblings? Or do you have any siblings?
Yeah, I have one younger brother.
Okay.
He goes to college in Boston.
Oh.
He just moved to LA. We're trying to like hang out more.
Nice.
You know, so, but But yeah, it was weird, man. It was you didn't have anybody musical in your family.
No,
right?
I mean my parents, like, they sing okay, like at church.
Right.
They don't sing at church, like they sing in the congregation, just like standing up. But
there's that separation of like music is a hobby.
Yeah.
And then you do something else for your job.
No,
right?
Yeah, I got nobody.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got nobody. So I'm right there. I know how that feels. But it's cool that your parents were supportive. And everything. So I guess they were very supportive when you decided to go to NYU.
Yeah. It was kind of obligatory because it's like, all right, I'm going to go to college. Right?
Uh-huh.
And I kind of cheated because I went to like an individualized thing where you can just like kind of do what you want. So there are people there that like majored in like puppies and majored in like, you know, magician science.
Like Harry Potter and stuff?
Kind of. You know, that's what the reputation had for the school particularly.
And what drew you to that school? Like, you're gonna do dark circles.
The magician science didn't give it away. No,
the dark stuff. Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think it was just the fact that you could choose your own destiny, you know? Because in high school, for my last 2 years, like I did like independent study a lot,
Okay.
And it was like, you got basically half of a day to just do whatever you wanted. So I was like writing reports on like just topics that interested me at that point. And the school was basically an extension of that, you know, at
NYU.
Were
you pretty much in one of those super specialized schools where you could do whatever you want?
Yeah, it was like, it was open-ended. You could like piece
together
whatever. Yeah, it was tight.
Was that awesome or like?
It was cool. I mean, like the, because NYU is so big, right? So it's like they have to kind of separate all the different areas of study. And so to be in like a an environment where your area of study is like no area of study and it's up to you, it's like the ultimate freedom.
So what did you decide to, what was your quote unquote major?
Oh, bro. It was like, it was something crazy, like notions of, like notions of something in the music industry, and then like a footnote of like Japanese, because I was taking Japanese.
That's so very you.
Yeah, it's like
that's
it doesn't
incredibly
really.
You.
Exactly. But
that's awesome. But why not like the Clive Davis program or something?
I mean, I got rejected there. Actually,
Okay.
I like tried to. I applied. I sent them a like I sent them like some music that I wrote, and they wanted me to be on the entrepreneurial side instead of.
On like the musician side.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was funny because like at first, you know, it was tough to accept the fact that their criteria was like a little bit weird, what they were looking for, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, as things progressed, like me and the staff became really close at Clive Davis, and I ended up spending most of my, time at NYU at the Clive Davis Institute, you know?
Okay.
But it definitely felt good to like go back there, you know, years later. And then be like, hey,
I made
what's
it.
Good? And, you know, I did like a talk there with like Seal and like panels and stuff.
Oh,
so at this point, it's like a joke, you know, between us. But yeah, they got a lot of great people out of that school, too.
They do. Like so many talented people out of that school.
Yeah. Like incredible. I feel like they've all moved to L.A., too. Like it's
I feel
like
that's like the general like way that things go. Everybody kind of starts off in a big city.
Exactly.
And they're like, wait, all the music's been out of L.A.
Yeah.
They all end up moving out there.
Plus, it's just comfortable. I mean, compared to New York, man, like, it's like you can't even live in New York.
You're bang for the buck, right?
For
in
real.
L.A., so much better than New York.
Yeah, and the quality of life.
Yeah.
Like, the thing that made me move was when, because I used to, and I've told people this before, too, but, like, I used to eat, like, a bunch of, like, Oreo McFlurries. Like, that's, like, my comfort food.
Okay.
And so I got one. I was having a really bad day in New York, like really bad. I got an Oreo McFlurry. I went to get on the 456
The train
line, And then the wind came up and it blew all the like, it was like cigarette ash. It was like dirt, and it like went in like directly into the McFlurry.
Oh, that's devastating!
And I was like, I'm moving, bro. That's it. Like I was
out of
done
here,
after
bro.
That. Yeah.
That's like rat feces.
And like, I didn't even think about the rat feces.
Yo, that's disgusting. Every time I walk into a New York City subway, I feel like I'm gonna catch a disease. Just inhaling those scents.
It's like, possible.
It's not natural, yo.
It is. It's like it's difficult. Very difficult. It's like poop or pee.
Yeah.
And then everything in between.
Sweat
like, for sure, yeah.
It's really when you want
a bit of blood.
Yeah, a little bit.
Tiny bit.
When you want to test, really, like, take your immune system to the limit and check. How fit are you? You should just go onto the New York City subway.
That is very true.
You'll know within 24 hours if you're strong or not.
Very true. That being said, it's a very efficient mode of transportation.
It is.
I will give them that.
When it's functioning.
That's true. That's the other thing. And I'm mad claustrophobic, so like,
oh, are you?
Whenever the train would stop underneath, like in the tunnels.
Oh, no, dude.
Bro.
No cell service?
Yeah. Well, I think they fixed it now. Now I
think it's... Some places.
Really? Oh,
I was
man.
Just on it, and I was like, wait, it stopped working.
Oh, but, God.
I don't know. I have very mixed feelings about that system. Especially when you live in, like, Seoul. And Korea has such a clean, fast system. I don't know if you've been on
really? It. Really? Yeah, I've never actually been on the subway system.
Compared to... anywhere, I feel like it's very, very efficient and clean.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
They got nice jingles. They got Wi-Fi. They got air conditioning. It's great.
The jingles? You mean like when you land? It's
Or like when you get off at like...
Oh, that's
welcome to this station. Please get off the left. And you're like, oh, okay. This feels nice.
That's tight.
It's not bad.
It's a nice calming tone.
Exactly.
It was like reassuring.
Exactly. So you graduated at NYU in 2013.
Yeah.
And then you ended up moving out to LA.
Yeah.
And was with that just like you being like, I'm going to try it? Like,
I don't know. It was, I don't even think I was thinking about that. I was like, because in New York, I was making music with my homie. Like one of the only ones that would actually like, that I was on the same page with, you know, because a lot of people, I feel like, and no knock to Clive Davis either, but like a lot of those kids came from LA. And so I think they brought with them that kind of LA sensibility and like mentality. Like I remember being at like this party and everybody was like singing different things back and forth to each other. It was like one of those like, it was like some scene from like some cheesy like teen movie.
I'm imagining you in Glee right now.
It wasn't like that. It was like but not too far off.
Okay.
But like I tried to do something and then they were just like, nah. And I was like, damn, you guys are like a clique or something.
Oh really?
And I was like, all right, like let me remove myself from this. But yeah, I think it was me and my homie from Connecticut, we were just kind of making a bunch of things. And I guess we just felt kind of like the outsiders to that whole thing.
Yeah.
And so we actually had the idea to just kind of move to LA as a way to just distance ourselves from that, you know?
Yeah.
And so it was us and then homegirl that worked at a company that I was interning at the time. And we all just kind of moved out here. She eventually moved back, but it was just a way to have a change of scenery. I was sleeping on a mattress in North Hollywood, you know? Mm. So I wasn't even really thinking about, you know, making it or doing music as like a career. I just wanted to write cool stuff that I could put on the internet, maybe get picked up by a couple blogs.
Yeah.
And then just, I was just trying to get some excitement, but at the same time, get some like comfort, you know, even if it's not 100% familiarity, I just wanted to feel like I wasn't battling to be alive, you know, like New York felt like such a front to me.
Yeah.
It felt like so much work to just exist.
It is. It's an overwhelming place. It's like a eat or be eaten kind of...
Exactly.
You know, environment, I feel like.
But it was probably easier for you to... Because coming from Atlanta, I mean, that's...
I mean, here's my thing. Like, I've never spent a lot of time in New York. Like, I never lived there. But every time I'm there, I'm like, okay, either I could kill it here or I would get absolutely massacred. And I wouldn't know until I actually move there is how I feel.
I got you.
Because Atlanta, too, like, I grew up in the suburbs, like, suburbia.
Got you. That makes sense.
I guess the one thing that is different for me is, like, I traveled a lot doing different, like, internships or things on my own. So I always felt, like, very, go get them. Like, very just independent about things. So, but I don't know. I think about it to this day. It's like, if I moved to New York, would I get killed? Probably. But okay, so you go to LA, you're with some friends, you're just writing music, and then this happens.
Yeah, I mean the internet, bro.
Your internet and everything just kind of pops off.
Yeah.
Like, can you briefly walk us through that process? Like,
it was great, man. I mean, I feel like it's been, at that time, like I was deep in that whole, I don't even know what you call it, but it's like that whole blog oriented mindset.
Yeah.
You know, like I was a kid of the blogs. Like I read all the blogs. That's how I got all my music. Uh-huh. You know, it was basically pre-Spotify in a way. Pre-Apple Music, pre-everybody. Yeah. And it was like if you wanted free music, you would get it from, you know, somebody posting a link on, you know, thissongissick.com or, you know, I Got Soul or, you know, just some website that was like a curator for music that otherwise you'd have to go on iTunes and pay for it,
right.
So it was like a double whammy of, oh, I get to be rewarded by something that's not the mixtape that everybody's talking about, but it's still free and it's still exclusive and it's subversive and alternative and it's not mainstream, you know? Right. So I think maybe just because I was such a kid of that time, you know, and I really wanted to make music that I didn't feel at that time anybody else was doing exactly the way that I heard it in my head, you know, and that spoke to me and what I was going through, especially like as a black kid who likes R&B music, but didn't necessarily like the mainstream stuff.
Yeah.
To the point where it would be the kind of music that I would make that would speak to me. You know, I just feel like it was a reassuring thing to see that same blog culture latch on to what I was making, you know, as somebody who appreciated everything that was coming out of that climate. So
that's cool.
I can't even, I wish I had like a replay or something of exactly what happened. Cause it's like blur. It's like such a blur, bro. Like I remember like sending a bunch of emails to all these blogs at like, from like 3 to 7 in the morning and like doing like different fake names, pretending I was like my publicist, pretending like I was already, and then just climbing that kind of ladder.
So you're like pretty much conning people.
Definitely conning people, for sure.
To get your music out there.
Absolutely.
That's, I mean, I respect the grind. I respect the hustle. How are you keeping yourself alive? Like, were you working? Like,
no, well, I graduated NYU a year early, technically. So my parents gave me like a year kind of like...
tuition kind of thing?
Basically, yeah.
Okay, that's nice.
So
that's
it ran out. So at the end of that year, I was so mad, man. Like, I sent maybe like an application to Starbucks like 5 different times and they would never call my ass, bro. Like they kept like curving me. And I think they finally said, okay, cool, you can come in. But that was right as I was finally starting to see some returns from, it was Spotify at the time. Like there was this girl, Kate, that this was like when Spotify was first, you know, coming to America.
Started.
Yeah. And it was like mostly a European thing and it was actually starting to find footing. They had all the curators of every playlist.
Right.
Like they had their email addresses up there.
Oh, they did.
You could find them. Yeah. Cause that was when they had the social thing. You could kind of like look people up and send them like DMs basically on Spotify.
Okay.
So I just got basically a list of all the playlists that I liked as a music listener. I looked at everybody who was curating those playlists and I just like straight up sent them an email. So it's like, you know, Kate, like to this day, like every time I see her, like, It's such a special thing because she basically put me on, you know, like she would add my stuff to certain playlists and that generated like real money. Like I was skeptical too because I was like looking at the account and I was like, can I use this? Or even after I wasn't expecting it to be actually a livable amount, you know, because I wasn't signed to a label or anything. So shout out to Spotify for that.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
They're writing those checks.
Thank you, Spotify. So Weight in Gold, that pops off in 2015, right?
Yeah, just about, yeah.
Was that an independent release?
It was, yeah, technically. I linked up with my homie who had a record label at that time.
Right.
And it was technically like released underneath that. And we were kind of just, you know, just hustling. We were going through like the blog kind of atmosphere. My homeboy Wade Davis got the idea to, yeah, you know Wade.
How's Wade?
He's chilling, man.
Yeah.
He's doing great. He and I we go bowling like every other week.
Okay.
You know,
cool.
When I'm in the States. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah. That's a different conversation.
Yeah,
but
we'll talk about that later.
But it was I think it was his idea and my homie Dan, to kind of have like a remix type of thing with the track. So, you know, SoundCloud was, you know, at peak culture back then too. So we got all these remixers that we really liked. Some of whom had their own music on the side too. And somehow we were able to like seed the track out and just kind of suss out who was kind of interested in doing a remix of it. We had like, you know, I want to say 100 remixes. I don't want to exaggerate, but we were trying to get like a remix package together of like, I don't know, I guess we put like 7 on there or something or 6. But because we were just choosing the ones that we liked and all these people were still making remixes, we still had outside of the package that we put out, like all these remixes that just popped up on SoundCloud.
So it went completely viral.
In a way, yeah.
It like ate the internet,
It was a combination. It was weird because it seemed like it was just popping up out of nowhere, out of just this one idea.
That's amazing. I mean, I remember when that song came out, everybody was buzzing.
For real.
Even in Korea, everybody's like, have you heard of this weight in gold, and they're like gallant, gallant. I was like, everybody was talking about it, and then it just started playing in Korea everywhere as well.
Well, that was really tight. That was trippy for me to see, like the way that it got picked up and embraced, like in Korea, was amazing. Like that was one of the first, because it was like next thing I know, it was just like, you know. It was like dance video after dance video, or like, you know, this popular artist after this popular artist. But that was, it was such an amazing, you know, experience to just see that happen out of nowhere.
I mean, great song. And then you had a great album.
Thank you, man.
Which got nominated for a Grammy, which is insane.
You're buttering me up too much.
No, but like, what can you, like, okay, think about this. You were getting rejected from Starbucks, couldn't get a job at Starbucks, had rat feces in your McFlurry,
yeah,
right?
And that was a tough one.
And then you're nominated for a Grammy. You know, we skipped a little bit of the part in the middle, but that's pretty much in my head what happened.
Even that, like, everything in the middle didn't exist. Like, that was the first award I've ever been nominated for. And I was, you know, it took me by surprise for sure. And I definitely wasn't expecting that. And I was in such a terrible place at that time too.
Really? Why?
I feel like, you know, Wait & Go was cool. The album was cool. But then I just got into the cycle of doing these tours.
Yeah.
And I was playing live like constantly, you know,
yeah,
so I never had
like so many shows.
It was crazy. Yeah. And I feel like it was cool to get that practice, you know, because I really didn't have those live chops at all, really. Mm-hmm. And so to just kind of have that familiarity with the same band too for so long was really like necessary. But it got to the point where like I felt like creatively I was so stifled, you know. I felt like I had so much to say that I just didn't really get a chance to say. I felt like I wanted to be in the studio, like making more things. Mm-hmm. And then with some of the matchups, it felt kind of like this weird talent show mentality instead of like, you know, like I feel like I really wanted people to like listen to, you know, like the words and connect with those or like the style and everything. And I feel like that's what helped kind of bring me to a good place in the first place, you know. But there's nothing more discouraging when it's like not always connecting like that,
you know.
So I think I was on one of those types of runs where it wasn't really connecting with the audience, but I still was doing all those shows.
Right.
And then that's when I got the call about the Grammy thing. So it really, like, especially for my band too, because they, you know, played on some of the album at that time. So for all of us, it was like a big kind of, you know, morality boost, you know.
Okay.
It was morale boost. But
when you have a debut album that gets nominated for a Grammy, what in your head does that mess you up at all? Like, I feel like if it was me, I'd be like, holy crap. Like, what am I going to do next? I'm sorry. I just got to put it out there. Like, what does that make you feel like? Like,
it honestly made me feel like I could have the freedom to kind of do whatever I wanted, you know, for a little bit longer.
It's more empowering.
I was empowered by it.
That's amazing.
For me, because I'm so used to hearing just like, you're not good enough. Your music is trash. Or like, you know, I'd rather listen to XYZ artists. You know, I was so used to that, that to have like, you know, and it's not even about winning. It just to have like the recognition that I exist.
Right.
From like, you know, that kind of organization, like really
an
helped.
Industry nod to you.
Yeah, it really helped a lot. If I had won, like I would have felt pressure for sure. So I was crossing my fingers that didn't happen. But I also knew it wasn't going to happen, which is great. So. Okay. I'm like happy that I'm in a space now where I can just kind of keep making the stuff that speaks to me. And, you know, if something down the road brings me back, then that would be tight.
But. That's awesome. I guess, you know, after that album, you took a little bit of a break, I feel like, or you've been a little.
Yeah.
Not as visible as of late.
Definitely. Yeah.
That's been more of like a. That's been a conscious decision on your part to kind of.
It was rough, man. I think honestly, what I just like was saying with the touring, that was what really messed me up more than anything else. You know, it was like, because you know how it is. It's like you want to be constantly making stuff. You want to be like on to the next project. There's nothing worse than like running your horse into the ground,
right?
And then you're like 10 feet under, then 12 feet under, then 13 feet under, and it takes so much work to dig back up to the surface. You know, it's like the hiatus, I guess, was like just me trying to write the album that made me feel the same way Ology, when I was writing it, made me feel, you know, and that just took a long time to like get back into, because there was like a thing of like phoning it in a little bit where it just sounded too similar. Right. But it didn't really connect. Then there's that thing where you're peeking your head back up above ground after the climate has changed a little bit.
Right.
Well, really a lot. It's crazy how much it's changed since
over the past few years,
Yeah, it's crazy, actually. But you have to, like, at least for me, like, I had to go back to being a music listener and, like, go back to being a kid in a way who likes music and wants to make something that makes you feel a certain way. And if it speaks to somebody else, cool. And if it doesn't, cool. Like to get back to that mentality, that took a lot of time, you know, and like trial and error. And it was definitely painful.
I can see that. I guess for me, like I guess for me, when it comes to touring, like I kind of understand where you're coming from, where it's, because I feel like you were doing these tours where it was that one album, but you did like two runs of it almost.
Yeah.
Like, because you opened for John Legend.
Yeah, I opened for John Legend for a run. I did a tour with Zoo.
Right, you did a tour with Zoo.
I did a, I did like a bunch of like spot kind of dates with different artists, like from different genres. I toured with Sufjan Stevens. That was my first tour. Then I did two legs of a headline tour.
Yeah, that's
a European
lot.
Tour.
That is digging yourself a big grave.
Yeah, man. I mean, especially for like, you know, for one song, it was a lot.
Did you ever get sick of that? Singing that song?
Weight and Gold. No, actually,
no.
There are definitely some songs, but like, I feel like every time I sing that one, like it's a different. It means something different. Sometimes I'll sing it and I'll be like, man, I wish I haven't had another song.
Okay.
That was not this one that had the same energy.
Right.
And I'm sure that will come down the road. Yeah. Okay. But you know,
Let's talk about that song briefly. Just very in like 20 words,
20 words. Okay.
How that song came about and what it's inspired by. Choose wisely, Sir Christopher.
Yeah, I'm like going through the dictionary in my head. I'm like, okay. I mean, I think when I was writing it, it was like, let me combine the kind of more like esoteric stuff I want to do with something that makes me feel good. Instead of like, that was the sentence. That was the collection of words right there. But I feel like, you know, everything was kind of like a mood board for how I was feeling at the time. You know, whether it was like that, most of the album, because that was one of the last songs I added to the album. Mm-hmm. And then in a way, because it was like a collection of songs, then it was that song, and the album was like not finished, but it was just kind of floating around. And then I finally like tied it up. So that was maybe like the fourth song towards the end of the album being complete. But everything was such a mood board, you know, and that was one of them where it was like, it makes you feel kind of good. Mm-hmm. It makes you like, it has the intensity and it's like done on purpose. Yeah. Like my homie Stint, who produced it, you know, everything else we had been doing was like really experimental.
Right.
We were just kind of like spitballing, like, you know, we put on Cowboy Bebop and then like, just see what happens, you know? And for this one, we were like sitting down, we were like, all right, let's, I think originally, like I had the lyrics of like, oh, it was like a breakup song or something, but I was like, oh, I'm keeping these sheets of gold and your hair is like, you know, just some like weird kind of portrait-y thing.
Yeah.
And then we sat down, we were like, okay, let's kind of like see if we can evoke.
Mold it a little bit.
Yeah, you know, and like change it. And I used to hate that because, you know, I'm like a kid of that blog era. You know, I'm like, oh, the establishment. I don't want the mainstream. Yeah, exactly. But we were able to kind of combine those two things, and it definitely changed the way that I felt about mainstream music,
yeah,
for sure, in a very positive way. So it definitely, I think, completely shifted my perspective.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So let's talk briefly about this new album that's coming out.
Yeah.
Second studio album, Sweet Insomnia. Sweet Insomnia, October 25th.
October, that's coming up too.
It's very soon.
It's in like three weeks.
Very soon.
Basically.
What's this about? How, you know, tell us about this album.
It's crazy that it's done, first of all. It took me like three tries to get to it.
Uh-huh.
But I call it Sweet Insomnia because everything on there is bittersweet. It's uh-huh. like nothing's 100%
mm-hmm.
positive. Nothing's 100% disturbing and negative and cynical, you know. And honestly, when I first seriously started putting together the body of work from like, mm-hmm. you know, starting in November, I don't know what it was, but I would, you know, do a session from like 1 to 6 or 7.
Yeah.
I come home and then still like work on the vocals and make everything the same kind of warm, kind of off the cuff thing that I wanted to sound like until maybe like 4 a.m. Then I have this little video game room in my house. Go there, play some Persona 5 until like 7 or 8 a.m. And then I'd like fall asleep from like 8 to noon. And I just got locked in that cycle. And it was really bad. It was weird.
It was horrible.
It like messed up my cycle to the point where it was like when I wanted to go to sleep, like I actually couldn't, you know. But it was cool because I started like being like, okay, you know, when it was time to buckle down the sonics and get everything right, it was like, let's make these kicks a little bit off time and a little bit lazier.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make these synths like a little bendy, a little bit detuned. Some things just seem a little like hypnotizing and like hazy and weird. It's like you're just walking down a hallway and you haven't slept in like months, you know.
Just blurry.
Yeah.
Unclear, foggy.
So I was like, let me just combine those two sensibilities that embody what the album is and just Sweet Insomnia was the perfect title for it.
Cool. What's like the lead single off of it?
The lead one was technically Sharpest Edges.
Okay.
Which was, it's like a kind of like a Prince type of thing that I'd always wanted to write.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it sets the tone sonically for the whole album. Everything is very like warm, you know. I wanted to not do anything that's that ambient. Like I wanted it to be like very like dry, very almost like not bright, like just very like a wooden box, you know. And I put out this song called Crimes, this song called Sleep On It.
Yeah, it's been like one after another.
Yeah, and yeah. I think I'm up to number like 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I have one more that I'm going to do.
Okay.
But I'll probably just put that out the same day as the album.
Okay.
So
how many songs can we expect on this album?
It's 13 total.
Oh my gosh.
But it's cheating though, because it's like you got the intro track.
Okay.
And then a couple of them are like a little shorter.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite songs that I've ever done is like 47 seconds. On the album.
Isn't that okay? How do you feel about this? So my thing right now is when I look at songs and like the length of songs, they get increasingly just like shorter and shorter and shorter.
Yeah.
And I think I'm completely okay with that.
Yeah.
But people are like, this is too short. I'm like, it's 2 minutes, 30 seconds. Like my attention span is like 1:30. So I gave you a lot. I gave you a minute more.
Exactly,
but,
man.
But I mean, what are your songs like time wise? Are they kind of all over the place? Have they been trending a certain way?
I think, I mean, it depends on what the song wants to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like I wrote this song called Gentleman, which is like, you know, it's like a good old like sexing song, you know? So I'm like, all right, that's got to be at least 5 minutes.
Like
at least
5 minutes. Yeah.
If it's going to be good. Like,
right.
But then, you know, like the 47 second song, which is called Forever 21 on the album, like all it needs to do is, it's like inspired by like those YouTube channels, the like 24/7 chill
to relax
study to with the raccoon dude.
Yeah.
Like really like a lot of stuff on the albums like that, but with, because I feel like it's always those types of instrumentals, but then it's like a hip hop verse, which is great, but I don't really hear too much with like layered like R&B vocals, you know, so I wanted to try and figure that out. But it's the same thing over and over. So if you want to put it on loop, you can.
Right.
And all it needs to do is just establish the message, you know.
Right.
And you can easily just go back and listen to it again. So I think it just depends. Each song is like its own little human being. It needs to do whatever it needs to do to make it the best that it can be.
Okay. So one, I guess, about... I just had a brain fart. So cool. We'll look forward to that album. You guys be sure to check it out. Sweet Insomnia. I know a lot of people listening are going to be very curious about Cave Me In as well. So let's just talk about it very briefly. So we put this song together...
2017? Yeah. Like summer 2017?
Yeah.
Right? It was after the...
No, wait. It was Mama was 2016. And then it came out 2017, January. That's what happened.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you're right.
So we probably worked on it.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's been like a long time ago.
Wow.
That's crazy.
So I think the first time we met, it was in Hong Kong?
Yeah, that's right.
Right. So we had worked on it over the internet.
Yeah.
And then
That's crazy.
Yeah. I remember you were on tour writing the song.
Right.
And then Blow put his verse on it. Yeah. And then he was like, okay, like, put your thing on it. And I listened to it. I was like, how the hell am I supposed to follow up on this? I was like, so I feel like an idiot because you guys are using difficult words. and like, both of you guys are poetic geniuses. I was very honored to be a part of that track.
Bro, yeah, I mean, from my side, I definitely don't know about that. But... I mean, I was, because I felt the same pressure because Tablo sent me his verse. Because I just put melodies on it.
Because
Lo-Fi made the beat. And then Tablo basically caused the pressure for both of us. Then. Like, because I was like, all right, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
I think maybe I had I didn't have any lyrics. It was just all like.
So
melodies.
It was Tablo just pulling it out and be like, boom.
Yeah.
Beat this.
Exactly.
And then. That guy it's not fair. Well, if you're listening, it's not fair, really, what you do. But you know, I think people loved it. I loved it.
Yeah,
you know, people listen to it a lot. And I guess, like, the first time we met, it was in Hong Kong. You were doing Mama. I was there for Mama. And we shot the music video the day before the show.
Was it the day?
I think it was a day before the show. We shot the music video.
No, there's no way, because we were out like all night. That had to be after Mama.
No, I think it was before.
That's crazy. Yeah, you're right.
It was before.
Where we sleep at like 11 a.m. and then like wake up
and
do Mama?
And did Mama.
That's crazy.
And I think the other thing was very memorable. I think it was it Wade? Wade was there.
Yeah, Wade was there.
Wade got really drunk.
Oh, yeah. Wade was wilding, dude.
He was like wasted in the streets of Hong Kong throwing beer cans.
He was having a great time, bro. Yeah, he was. That was crazy. I've never been that tired in my life to this day.
Really?
Like when we were in the back of that, like, it was like a, like the,
little
the Sprinter.
Bus thing, yeah.
I was like.
you were. Because
we still had to do like two
time.
More scenes. Yeah.
But.
Yeah, you're a pro. I was like.
Good memories, dude. Good memories.
Yeah, that was fun.
Really fun. Yeah, if you guys don't know, there's a song called Cave Me In. It's myself, Gallant, and Tablo. So guys, check it out. We're going to go ahead and talk about a few things a little lighter. I feel like we talked about music in depth. So we're going to take it back up to the surface just a little bit. I have some great facts here from our producer. And it says that you really love laser tag.
Yeah, where'd you get that from?
She's really good at just finding deep, dirty secrets.
That's crazy. I probably told like two people that in private.
Shadowland?
Yeah. Shadowland is the place. That's crazy.
How good are your laser tag skills?
I'm terrible. I'm really bad, but I have a great time.
Okay.
And it's just like, it's one of those things. Like I, like bowling is like my escape.
And oh, yeah?
Yeah. Like that's... I will say I'm good at bowling.
What do you?
I brought my ball in my shoes.
Are you serious?
Actually. Absolutely, 100%.
Are you gonna go?
I was thinking about it. I don't know if I'm gonna have time.
Oh man!
But I brought it just in case. But as I'm
this
like,
guy
on
travels
tour,
with
like,
his bowling ball. What? I can't. That's how. What do you play with? What like weight do you play with?
I do. People give me a lot of shit about it, but I play with a 10-pound ball.
Why is that something to give shit about?
Because they're like, all right, it's like 12. You get like a certain amount of performance because they have the little mechanism inside. Yeah, yeah. And then 14 is like when you really get like the precision.
Pro, yeah.
But I just want to like master, because I play with house balls from like, you know, for like years when I was bowling, like just the bowling balls they had at the place. And I was like, all right, let me get my own ball, but I don't want to cheat. Like, I don't want to get like the heat-seeking ball yet, you know? Okay. So the 10-pound ball gives me the, you know, I can work on my technique, work on my aim, you know, work on like sharp shooting. And then once I get that down 100%, then I'll
What's your score? Your average?
It's not crazy. It's like 145-ish.
That's pretty good.
But it's like the consistency is good. It's chilling.
Like, I'm consistently at like 90, and then I'll get like a 140, and then I'll be back at like 70, like game after game.
Okay.
It's really...
That's, I mean, you know.
It's very bipolar. my scores are very bipolar. And I play with like an 8-pound ball. So... Just don't even.
I mean, I'm like, I can't even laugh at that because I was just talking about how people laugh at me. So
I mean, for me, it's like, I'm not going to risk throwing my back out or dislocating my arm and shoulder.
I feel you.
All right. I did not know you were such a bowling enthusiast. If you guys ever see Gallant at a bowling alley.
You will too. I'm there by myself.
Do not disturb. He's very focused.
Very often, yeah.
Very focused.
But circling back to laser tag.
Yeah.
I feel like. Things that I used to do when I was a kid,
yeah,
but didn't get a chance to do between being a kid and an adult,
yeah,
are the most, it like brings you back to earth in a way, you know? It's like going to Six Flags and then you're about to ride the roller coaster and you're like, wait a second, I can drink and then go on a roller coaster? It's like, okay, like.
That's great.
Yeah. It's like you can actually
like
have
little
fun
upgrades in
life.
Right?
Exactly.
The little upgrades. It's like going to Disney World. And you think about it, like, that sounds horrible. But then they're like, but did you know that there's a secret bar and, like, club or whatever? Have you heard about this?
Yeah.
I'm like,
I think it's not. No, I think you can get alcohol in Harry Potter World now, I think. Right?
Oh.
Oh, no, that's not. Is that at Disney World?
Wait, Harry Potter's Universal.
No, that's at Universal, yeah.
But.
There's some other place.
I don't know. Disney World still sounds bad to me right now.
In what way?
The idea of lines.
Yeah, the lines are brutal, yeah.
That, and then being, like, I went to Magic Mountain or something.
Yeah, well, that's Six Flags, right?
Yeah, I went there.
Yeah.
Like, a year or two ago.
Yeah.
And it was cool, but I rode, like, 4 rides for, like, 10 hours. Like, this is...
Oh, yeah. This is really You didn't get the pass?
No, because I was just, like, didn't look like there were a lot of people there. But then they closed half the rides, so, like, you could only get on certain ones. And then I was like mad. I was like, I'm not going to pay more to ride only half the rides.
Yeah.
And like, I was like, we're done.
Why did they close the rides?
Just I think they're just being stingy.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
That's what I think. But,
that's
you
crazy.
Know, whatever. I see here you also like Casper the Friendly Ghost.
That's an interesting one.
Or no, you like a good throwback movie. Like
I do.
Casper or Flubber.
That one's actually scary. Because there was a commercial that just started airing with Casper the Friendly Ghost.
Wait, what?
And I've been watching it and I've been like, maybe I should watch Casper. But I actually didn't verbally communicate that to anybody. That was a very private thought.
Oh, it's scary that we know that.
That I had, yeah.
Wait,
where are you getting this information from?
Are you reading cards or something? What? Are you like reading minds? You X-Men?
That's actually crazy. Because I was thinking that to myself. But,
that's insane.
That's crazy, but Flubber for sure, yeah.
Flubber was quite the hit.
Flubber was. Oh, was Robin Williams in Flubber?
Yeah. He was a scientist guy.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
That's crazy. But that is another one I've been trying to, yeah. Because every time I'm like, all right, should I watch Flubber or X throwback movie? And I always end up choosing X. But I've been meaning to watch Flubber.
I might.
And Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Oh.
For sure. Because it's like that weird. And Beetlejuice. Like
but
that
I
type
remember
of stuff,
Honey, yeah. I Shrunk the Kids gave me a lot of anxiety. I loved that movie.
Yeah.
But I think as a kid, I got anxiety. It's like, what if I got shrunk?
That and would
those,
suck, yeah.
Those ants.
Yeah. And those, you couldn't figure out how to get yourself back normal.
Yeah.
That would actually, that would I'll be very unfortunate.
Because as a kid, I'm clearly not very smart. I was like, this could happen to me. And I was just like,
this well, yeah, could... it's in a movie. Like,
yeah. How are you? It must be real life.
Exactly.
Duh.
Oh, man.
What was your first car?
Oh, man. That's a sad one. My first one was a Honda CR-V.
Nice.
But it's sad because I love that car.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like it could have lasted me for the rest of my life.
What happened?
But I got rear-ended. Oh, and then it was like sandwiched between these two cars in the left lane, which was crazy, actually, that I like.
You weren't hurt?
No, but that's why it was such a great car.
Right.
Like, I had no scratch on me at all. I like stumbled out of the car and then I looked behind me and it was actually crazy because the dude who hit me was like in shock and it was actually a nightmare scenario. But, yeah, I mean, that car, I feel like, was one of my favorite things of all time.
Well, my first car was a black Town and Country minivan. And I was just...
That's what's up, though.
Super cool with it. It was the loudest car ever. Eddie refused to be seen in that car with me, so he would get out early at school.
Oh, man.
And he would, like, sprint away from the car as I had to go park it. I had that soccer mom car. It was all good.
Yeah, that's a great car.
I appreciate it.
It's the reliability.
It is. It's reliability. It's flexible. You could put a lot of stuff in it.
Exactly.
You can go camping. Not that I ever did.
Yeah. Spacious. Yeah.
Very spacious. Do you remember the first song you ever wrote?
Oh, man. You got to answer that one first. That's that's deep.
Oh, man.
Oh, bro.
I can't answer that one. It's so embarrassing.
Oh, man.
It's really embarrassing.
Yeah, mine is bad, man.
What was the title?
Oh, bro. It was really bad. It was really bad. It was called, like, You Know. But it was the letter U and N-O.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was rough, bro.
What was it about?
It was like... The lyric, oh man, it was bad, bro. It was basically about like, it was like fighting over a girl and like trying to like be the one to get her. And but it was written from the perspective of like a 12-year-old. So the lyrics were really bad, man. It was tough, bro.
Oh man. How old were you when you
wrote this? It's been a great interview.
Come on, get out of here, bro. You can't leave us. Can't leave us. Oh man.
No, that was tough.
I feel like
you got to give at least the title now.
Oh, man.
At least the title.
Oh, man, I'm going to have an anxiety attack. Oh, man. I don't remember the first song, exactly what first song it was. One of them was, like, When We Were Young. And this is also It was written from the perspective of, like, a 15-year-old dude going through puberty.
Right, yeah.
And, like, being like, I wish I was young again. Dude, you are young. That's what the hell are you talking about?
That's really funny.
Like,
so it was like an emo type of...
It was, yeah. And I was just, oh, man. I still remember like just sitting there like, oh, my God, this is like great. And now I'm just like, holy hell. How, like, what were you on, kid?
It's scary how that happens, too. Because I feel like even when you're an adult, you're still like, you look back 5 years and you're like, oh, man.
Absolutely. There's certain songs where I listen, I was like, why did I sing it like that? Like, why do I sound ridiculous?
I know what you mean, actually. I do
definitely
that exact
have
same
those.
Thing.
All right, so we have a little segment right here. It's called Gallant or Not.
Oh, right? Wow, okay, yeah.
So, gallant.
Oh, yeah, gallant or not. Right, the proper English terminology.
Right. So, the adjective gallant means brave and heroic.
Yeah.
So, we're going to give you some scenarios, and you tell us where you'd be gallant or a little bit scared.
Cool. Okay.
Be very honest.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I got you.
First off, plane turbulence.
Gallant.
Okay, you're good.
Gallant, yeah. I'm good with turbulence. The takeoff and the landing that freaks me out from time to time.
Okay, yeah.
Because, statistically, everything is cool.
Uh-huh.
You're in a plane, you're safe, right?
Yeah.
But if something were to happen, it would be takeoff or landing, most likely. So those are the two things where I'm like, are we going to take off? And then we do it, and I'm like, all right, cool. And then I'm like, are we going to land? And then we do it, and I'm like, chilling.
Okay.
But and the turbulence I'm chill with.
Sometimes I wish I could sleep through it, but they make you get up. They're like, everybody get up, put your seat back upright, put your seatbelt on.
Oh,
like,
for the landing? Yeah. Yeah. I hate that. Yeah. I want to just be like lying down and then just, you know.
All of a sudden.
God.
Get up.
And it's such an unpleasant, when you're upright, you like feel yourself going like downwards. Yeah. It's just, come on.
Your seatbelt's holding you in.
Exactly.
It's like that one, it's like going up. I don't know if you hear it. I always hear it. You go up and then as you're halfway like through your full incline, you hear like, meh.
I hate that.
And I'm
like,
what is coming undone?
Exactly.
And how is this going to fall apart?
Oh man, there's that. And then it's when like, I guess the wheels come underneath and then it closes and it's like, boom, boom.
You're like, oh, did it's we just like, get shot? Oh, did the Russians just shoot us? What's going on?
Oh man.
All right, next one. Huge ass spider in your bed.
Mm.
Gallant or not?
Is it a furry spider? Or is it just a
it's we're gonna call it furry.
If it's furry, then not.
Not.
Yeah. If it's just like if it's like a thin, you know, normal looking spider, then chill. But yeah,
nah.
Nah. I'd have to at least put it outside or
do you have like an animal or a bug that you absolutely cannot stand?
I don't like snakes, man.
Okay.
Like I feel like I like the ones that are big
like
and it's obvious.
Constrictors.
Yeah, like the ones that you just that people carry around and that you
Britney
pet.
Spears. VMAs 2000.
Yeah, exactly. The one that Britney Spears wears to award shows. Yeah. Like that's cool.
Yeah.
Because it's like whatever. But if there's like a little snake just like running around freely, I don't do that because you never know.
You know? Never know. So. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with, I can't do rats.
Interesting. Okay.
Like, rats I can see physically that. Make me want to vomit.
Is it the fact that you might like step on it accidentally or is it just the existence of it?
I've had really traumatizing events in my life that involve rats. And so
really, what happened?
Well,
not to put you on the spot.
A lot of things happened. Of them, one of them is, let's see, I was once living in a rural community in Panama for 2 months. And like, I started finding like someone kept going through my luggage and like eating like these snacks that I had brought from the States.
Oh, wow.
Come to find it's a rat. And like one time I opened my suitcase and it like jumps at me from the suitcase. And I like freaked out and I was like, oh God, that's a rat. And then got over it. One night in the middle of the night, I wake up. I don't know why. Turn my flashlight on because we don't have electricity. Mm. And I have a mosquito net that I'm sleeping under. Turn it on, look up, and the rat is inside my net. Like jumping.
That's crazy.
Inside the net. Yes.
That's wild.
And then it jumps onto my foot and starts like running around my bed. And, I just hate it.
I
just hate it.
And when you say it kept eating your snack, do you mean like you would be like, oh, that's weird. It seems like something ate my snacks, but then you keep digging, you keep eating the snacks.
Well, it was like, you know, those individually packed granola bars.
Yeah.
Like I'd go into it and then it'd just be gone and like just crumbs everywhere.
Oh, crazy.
So I don't know what exactly was happening. And then I put it together. I was like, oh, there's definitely rat. But then I grew up like in my house when I was young. My aunt visiting from Korea had nothing to do. She's like, let's go collect pine cones. And I was like four. Huh. She's like, oh, that sounds like a great idea.
Yeah.
So we collect a bunch of pine cones. She puts it under our house, which then get termites, which eat through our floorboards. And then we had rats in our house.
Oh, wow.
And so we had, you
like,
know,
that's how you discovered it? By looking underneath the floorboard?
Well, yeah, they were coming up under like the sinks.
Oh, got you. Okay.
So that's then, crazy. You know, there's big ass rat traps, like the size of your arm.
Oh no.
They're like really big rat traps. They're like this big.
Like they're the traditional like
boom.
Clamp ones?
Yeah, they're like
this
big.
Crazy.
So like we had to put those out in our house and we would catch these big football sized rats.
Wow.
And they were so big that I would like be watching TV and you hear a smack and you're like, oh, caught one. And then you hear boom, 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 and it's jumping around.
Oh, that's...
Because it's so big that they can still move. And it's just bleeding everywhere. And, like, I would have to go and throw those out. So, I have a horrible, horrible phobia of rats. I should not have shared this because some fan is going to show up to a show and hand me a rat doll.
Oh, man.
Don't do it. Don't you dare do it.
They wouldn't do that to you, bro.
Don't you dare do it. All right, sorry.
I'm sure that's, I mean, after that story.
Ooh. All right.
I'm sorry you had to go through that.
You know what? Life happens. That's crazy. You know, people have worse scenarios. Gallant or not, someone suddenly knocking on the bathroom while you're on the toilet.
How suddenly? And how loud of a knock? How?
It's like they need to go, but you got to go too.
Like, yeah, then gallant. I'm like, yeah, I'm like, bro. Like it's a restroom.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm taking my time.
Okay.
And then when it's your turn, it'll be your turn.
I mean, what if he just has to go like right there on the floor?
If I'm in the I'm very considerate, I feel like,
okay,
with restroom time, you know.
All right.
Like, I'm not going on the plane.
All right.
You know, I'm like, you know, I'm timing it out.
Okay.
I'm not just in there like chilling, so.
All right.
You know, I'll take my time.
Why,
where do you stand on that?
I'm okay with, I like try to get out as soon as I can. My biggest fear is when I go in and I need to take a big one and there's no toilet paper.
Oh, yeah.
That is when I'm like in full panic mode.
It's true. And it's hard to always check beforehand. Mm-hmm. You know, that's tough. That's happened quite a lot.
Yeah. And then some of these places where you got to go when you're on the road.
Yeah, that's true.
Just kind of, you're stuck in a.
It's tough.
Hard place. But all right. We're going to start wrapping it. No, we shouldn't wrap it on a toilet thing. We should wrap it on something a little bit better. Okay. And then we'll wrap it.
What, has it been an hour already? That's crazy.
Anything you want to talk about or you want to mention? Or
damn. Oh, yeah. Let me think. We talked about the album. Talked about, yeah, I think I'm chilling.
All right.
If you want to throw it, go somewhere crazy, feel free. I'm down.
All right. Let's move off of the potty toilet talk real quick. Since you're in Korea, and I follow your socials, obviously, you've been meeting up with a bunch of other K-pop people.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I see you've gotten pretty close to Monsta X.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the homies.
How did that come about? Who else have you been getting close to? Like,
well, I feel like this trip, I haven't been able to meet up with everybody yet.
Yeah.
So that's why I need to come back. But with Monsta X, it was a lot of things, actually. It was Daniel Chong, who created We Bare Bears. They did like a guest episode on that.
Right.
And I had done one before, so me and Daniel were really good friends. Uh-huh. You know, my homeboy, who I guess worked with them on the management side, gave me the opportunity to do like a documentary with them,
which
I did like, you know, not too long ago. We did like a little performance piece. And then, you know, homie Dean, for example, like we've been trying to link up and do something for the longest time, you know, so I don't know, man. It's weird. Like, you know how it is. It's like you cross paths in some kind of way, and then you just try to see what you can do. But
yeah,
and Seoul's so friendly too. It's like it's easy to just kind of, at least from like the artistic community out here, it's just easy to link up and make things happen.
I remember at Mama, you were loving this particular girl group.
Yeah. Good old G-Friend, yeah.
G-Friend. Yeah. Yeah, I remember you were like, I need to.
And they keep rolling those albums out too.
They
it's
do.
Crazy, yeah.
They do.
I really feel like it, yeah. Because when I first discovered like non-Western pop music when I was a kid, like it was that, I don't know what it is, but they have that same kind of like playful.
Uh-huh.
Like approach to it, you know, and so I just feel like that's always gonna have a special place in my soul.
All right,
you know?
There you go. Well, G Friend, I told you then, we're telling you now.
Man.
He loves y'all. All right, so let's wrap it up. I know you have a lot more going on, so we got to let you go. But thank you so much for making time.
Of course, and joining us anytime. Here, we gotta do it again too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm sad that the time is up already. I know. It's crazy.
We gotta let you go. But if you want to say anything else to the people listening, where can they find you? What can they look forward to?
Oh man, you can find me on the internet. It's at SoGallant is my tag
socials
or my whatever you call it.
Yeah,
and I hope everybody likes the new album. It's out October 25th, called Sweet Insomnia. And man, I need to take some cues from you and just try and get a bunch of other things going on.
You're doing well.
I feel like I'm been focused on this album for so long. I need to mix it up a little bit.
You're doing great, dude. I'm not worried about you at all. All right. Well, everybody, thank you so much for listening to this show, and thank you, Gallant, for joining us on today's episode. Please be sure to keep up with our social accounts and. Let us know who else you want on the show. Follow us on at The Dive Studios on Instagram and Twitter and YouTube at youtube.com/Dive Studios. Now, as we say goodbye, if you don't mind, could you come up with an improvisational goodbye jingle or poetic phrase to send us off?
Oh, man.
I'm so excited.
Next time, I wanna see you next time. Hey.
Woo! Thank you. Have a good one, guys. Bye.